My name is Terry, and I am a Trinitarian. Now, the proper support group response for that is to say, "Welcome, Terry."
Welcome, Terry.
Very good. And so it may sound to you like I have an addiction to which I'm admitting, and maybe I do. I kind of have an addiction to God. What this fancy word Trinitarian means is that I do believe in God in all the different expressions of God. God the Creator, God the Redeemer, God the Sustainer. And this is essentially what today, Trinity Sunday, celebrates. God in all of God's forms. You heard last week, probably, that the Holy Spirit appeared to the gathered in wind and in flame. And often when the scriptures speak of the Spirit, it's in the context of wind or flame. In the earliest passages of the book of Genesis, we read that the first of God's creation is the wind over the waters, even before the day and the night, suggesting that the Spirit has been there from the very beginning. Now, I'm not suggesting here that the creation story was in any way a historical account, but it was the story told by the ancient Israelites to try and explain how they got here. How they came to be in this world. Each of the ancient tribes has its own creation story. Those from the ancient Near East to the native tribes of our own continent. And it's human nature to look for explanation of that which we don't understand. And the Israelites, here in their wisdom literature, come very close to describing something that we might think sounds a lot like the Holy Spirit. Listen to the words of the author of Proverbs again. "The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago." Now, in case you don't remember the words, you can pick up your pew Bible and turn to chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Genesis. "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." Wind. The first creation, even before "let there be light." "When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water." There was wisdom. "Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills were brought forth," there was wisdom. "When he established the heavens, I was there." The Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. So there was Sophia. "I was beside him like a master worker. I was his daily delight, rejoicing before him always." Rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. Sophia. Wisdom, spirit. The book of Proverbs are all about the choice between wisdom and folly, between right and wrong. It's a way to live in this world. And we are to listen with wisdom to make that choice between right and wrong. Sometimes I don't think we talk enough about the Spirit. But if the Spirit is the manifestation of God's presence in this world, then maybe some of the things that we attribute to other parts of God are really the Spirit in which we live and move and have our being. And I think that makes the Spirit pretty important, at least to me. And so when we talk about God and we talk about Jesus, sometimes we forget about the Spirit. And so today, let's give the Spirit her due. I spent most of my life in another denomination, a denomination so tied to its history several decades ago that the proper term for the Holy Spirit was still the Holy Ghost. And I confess to having spent my childhood with an image of the Spirit that looked an awful lot like Marley's ghost in the Mr. Magoo version of Dickens' Christmas Carol. And that was not exactly an image that inspired loyalty. But in the Proverbs text, we hear about a very different persona named Wisdom, Sophia. Wisdom, or Sophia, is said to be a feminine character, one who invites us in, one who maybe just stands there on the street corner waiting to get our attention, showing us what is right and wrong and letting us make our own decision about that, and then standing back to see which we choose. Kind of like the Holy Spirit active in this world. Does anyone believe in coincidence? Raise your hand. I see a couple. I don't believe in coincidence, but I do believe in the Spirit. And I think that all those things that appear to be coincidence to us are really some sort of divine invitation for us to see and experience an active God in our world today. And so I would encourage you always to say yes to those invitations, because they often enable us to see the face of God somewhere in that thing that we call coincidence. Now, the Proverbs are a collection of sayings often attributed to Solomon, who was considered to be the wisest of the Israelite kings. Sayings that told the people how to live a good life. Now, there are things in there that we don't take so literally in today's world. There's a whole part often called the good wife that just makes me cringe. Women, by and large, were not respected members of society in that time. They were chattel. They were mere possessions. And so the identification of wisdom with the feminine was a radical notion indeed to a society where only men mattered. And so I think of the Spirit as the feminine representation of God, a mother of sorts, a wise counselor at all times, but always there to guide us if we let her, and to guard us when we don't. Now, I have to admit that the more I thought about Marley's ghost this week, the more I realized that that story might just have something to say to us now. And so this middle-aged woman went to the library and watched Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol on YouTube, with people walking by saying, and the story opens with Mr. Magoo getting ready for, Ebenezer Scrooge, excuse me, getting ready for bed. And his first line is about the blasted wind. Do we ever talk about the blasted spirit? Because we could. The spirit isn't always welcome in our lives. It's inconvenient. It's a nag. It's like that crooked index finger jabbing you in the arm or tapping you repeatedly on the shoulder. Blasted spirit, can't you see I'm trying to do my own stuff? Blasted wind. And then in the movie, the sound of chains dragging up the wooden stairs is heard. And it's Marley's ghost, wearing the chains that he says he forged in life. There's some really great moral teaching in that 1962 children's cartoon. I would encourage you, if you haven't seen it, pull it up on YouTube. I don't have internet access right now, so I had to go elsewhere. And Marley's ghost appears to Scrooge to save him from his own fate. And so he sends him these three ghosts. The first two aren't bad, really, not scary or anything. The ghost of Christmas Present shows up and introduces him to Bob Cratchit's family with little invalid Tiny Tim. And Scrooge asks him, "Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?" And I heard echoes in that of the promises that Jesus made to his disciples. And between Tiny Tim and the coming true of Marley's prediction, Scrooge's heart starts to change. And then the one that I like best shows up, the ghost of Christmas Past. And it's kind of a genderless figure with a flame over its head. This is the one I should have been thinking about. And it shows Scrooge how there were people in his past that he could have learned from. But for some reason, like his love of money, he chose to disregard their teachings. And the ghost of Christmas past tells him that it's there for his welfare, there for Scrooge's welfare. And it invites him to rise and walk with me. And sometimes I think that's what I would like to hear from the Holy Spirit. Rise and walk with me. And when I'm presented with that option, Scrooge makes the right choice. And he's reminded of kind people and of a woman that he once loved before he changed so much. And he actually finds himself experiencing some regret. You see, the Spirit has the power to begin transformation. And by the time of the ghost of Christmas yet to come, I think that's all capitalized, arrives, Ebenezer Scrooge has been nearly transformed. And he sees the consequences of his behavior in what could happen to Tiny Tim with his death, and then his own death and his funeral unattended. Because Scrooge had made himself into someone that it was pretty hard for others to love. And when he awakens in his own bed, Ebenezer Scrooge is a changed man. He calls out to a young man on the street below to go and buy him the biggest turkey that he can find, one that's his size. And then he has the young man deliver it to the Cratchit family. Ebenezer truly is a changed man. And so he went that day, where he was not particularly welcome in their home. And he went and he gave Bob Cratchit quite a big raise. Ebenezer is a changed man. Once he accepted that invitation to rise and follow me, because that's how the Spirit works. The Spirit is the invisible, immortal presence of God in this broken world. And the Spirit seeks to heal us too. But it's an invitation. It's not a command. And we're free to say, no, I have to wash my hair instead. But it is in the accepting of that invitation that our own lives may be changed in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine. And as the Spirit waits for us, with arms crossed, patiently sometimes, just waiting for us to choose between the road that we're on and this new way, this new road that is shown to us by the Spirit. Rise and follow me. May it be so.